In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, the Mass is being offered for the intentions of the repose of the soul of Felix Sierra and Grandma Montoya. Today, as we enter into further into these mysteries, I want to refer you to one thing. This morning, we dwelt in a different way at the Carmelite Monastery with these readings. If you desire to see what was proclaimed and preached about at that time, you can go ahead and look on our website. They should be up shortly, I'm sure. They usually are after they've been uploaded. So I refer you to that. Although it speaks about what we must do at this time in the midst of the fears that are going on, turning to not the help which comes from man, but the help which comes from God. Go first to God. That's where we find deliverance from all disease and plague and hardship. Man can do very little. God can do all things. Here in the readings today, what do we find? We find that we need to seek the Lord in all things. The difficulty that we have within these two brothers is, and their mother, who put the proposition to our Lord, is that they ask for too little from God. They ask to be at his right and his left, a political position, a position of power. But as Catholics, as Christians, who are made so by the waters of baptism which are there, you, each of us, have something far greater than what it is that these two apostles were seeking and their mother was seeking for these two apostles. What do we have that's greater? The thing that we seek as Catholics, the thing that we seek as Christians, is not to be on the right side of Christ, not to be on his left side, not to rule with him in this world, but what? Even more so, that he be within us. It's far greater. Far greater closeness and far greater powers that access when we are called to be what? Let Christ become incarnate in me. That's what we're asking. We're asking God to make us more and more Christians, which means little Christs. Not to be next to Christ, but to actually be incorporated, made into the very body of Christ. And so, with that, I want to teach you about a particular group of saints, probably none of you have ever heard of, not even Favian. Yesterday we celebrated the feast day of 40 martyrs. 40 martyrs, the 40 Armenian martyrs, the 40 martyrs of Sebaste, who lived in the year 320. 320 actually was the year in which they ended their lives in glory on this life, so they could share that glory with Christ victorious in eternal life. What did they do? Those awesome martyrs that were there. These men were some of the greatest soldiers of the time, exercising in the campaign in the Roman legion there at that time. They were actually a part of the martyr group, or the group of this legion that was so successful that all throughout the empire they were praised because they were unbested in battle and so mightily destroyed their opponents that they even called them miraculous. And so taken in that, the procurator, the head of the legion at that time, called upon them to go out into battle to wage war one more time. And this time, because they wanted to be assured of their success from the very top, they were ordered to sacrifice to particular gods at this time so they may obtain their favor. 40 men among them thought that wasn't a good idea because they were Christians. And they went up to them, going all 40 of them, approaching their commander and saying, "Lord, sir, we're willing to fight on your behalf and to fight valiantly, but sacrifice to your gods we cannot do because we are Christians. We are Christians and we serve one God and one God alone. And so if you desire us to die upon the field of battle, we'll gladly fight. But to sacrifice to some strange God, we were willing to give our lives to not go there." And so this commander, seeing them and knowing how valiant these men had fought for him on many campaigns there before, what did they do? They won. He said, "Well, let's deal with them as we deal with any man." So he began to say, "If you fight, if you sacrifice in this, you do this little thing," which we don't really worry about anyway. We're not really thinking that the gods are going to help us out. Really, the Romans were superstitious more than anything else, just as all soldiers tend to get when they're in the trenches. So what he did was he said, "Fine, here, I'll give you all sorts of honors. Here are things that you'll get, money, all these things. Just do it so we can go on and be done with this." They refused. And so taking this in insubordination, they one by one were led to be flogged. Hey, get in line. Flogged with whips over and over again, have their flesh beaten and even torn with iron hooks. At that, they rejoiced, recognizing these indignities they would suffer within their own flesh, that God may be praised. They would not bend the knee to any God but God himself. And so, seeing as this was putting the whole of the army in confusion, now that their great difficulty of not sacrificing was becoming known all throughout the army, the actual leader, the procurator, came over and saw this, and he said, well, we must put this to a final end. Seeing his own wicked soul outside the city walls of that town that was there, they noticed that there was a lake. It was March 10th, as we were celebrating yesterday. At that time, when in Armenia, at this particular time, the winds of the winter were strongest, and it was in the dead of winter there, and they were experiencing. The pond outside was frozen solid, such that a man and even carts could go out to drive across it. Devising his wicked plan, he said, well, what you will do is you will now be commanded to all go out to strip naked and to lie out upon that frozen pond there until you succumb, or come over here and offer sacrifice. To make it even greater, they dug a trench, and in that water, in there poured water, filled it with hot, warm water that they could bathe themselves in and gain warmth if they would just go out and refuse, then go offer sacrifice. They didn't have to tell him twice. In fact, these 40 men, so stayed by courage in Christ, actually stripped their own clothes of their own volition and ran over there. Nothing was forced upon them. Racing over there, seeing that this was a great opportunity for them to give glory to God in their own bodies, they saw it as a great grace to suffer. And just as army men do, as men of courage and valor do, they cried out in chants, just as in military movements they chant to spur one another on to valor. This is what they said. They proclaimed, 40, they cried. We have come 40 to combat. Grant, O Lord, that we may be 40 crowned. And so they subjected themselves, without force, to endure these indignities, passing the entire night out there upon the cold, frigid. One by one, they would pass in this cold. There was a soldier who was standing by, he was just there charged to watch what was going on. And what he saw, his eyes were open to the miraculous things that were happening in the spiritual realm. As they were still spurring one another, encouraging one another in the midst of their frigid state, he saw angels, spiritual beings, descending down upon them. And actually, each of them placing a crown. He was so overawed by what he had seen right there, this vision that was put before him to see what was going on. He began to count them, and he noticed 39. Why are there 39 of them? Were there not 40? And began to count them over and over again. Sure enough, they were. He saw that there was one who did not have angels ministering to him. Not long after that, that wretched soul crawled his way off the ice, then went and steadily made his way down toward hand and foot all the way till he plopped into that warm water. But no sooner had he plopped himself into that warm water, abandoning his faith, had he expired. So moved was the soldier who was looking on. What did he do? So moved, the soldier saw that this must be a God who was worthy to serve. He himself tore off his own armor, stripped himself naked, and went out upon there of his own volition too, desiring, if this God is so great, I want him. And so 40 they were again. God answered that prayer. But the story doesn't end there. You see, the morning, the night passed, and still into the morning there were still a few who had not yet succumbed to the cold, and the emperor ordering that all should be taken, just as with the Roman custom for those who were traitors and deserters, that their bodies would be burned and their ashes scattered so that their relatives would have nothing to know them by. One by one they began to do, and they noticed the youngest one, his name was Miletus. Miletus was there, and they poked him, and realizing that he still had not passed yet, they took compassion on this young boy as a young age that he was, thinking, well, maybe if we leave him here, he'll eventually crawl to those waters, go offer sacrifice, and not needlessly die like the rest, so young as he was. And as they noticed that, in fact, his own mother was in the band which followed the army who was there. She, being a strong Christian herself, rushed to her son's aid as they were seeking to leave him there, recognizing him. And they said, no, son, no, son. What you are doing here is far greater. Stay here and remain and gain the crown which your brothers have preceded you in receiving, for you have something greater in store what God can give. Man can offer you nothing. She, as a mother, took her own son upon her shoulders. There, took him and threw him into the cart with the bodies of the others who had passed, that he may be die upon the pyre rather than to subject himself any further to a possibility of returning from that. What should this story of the martyrs teach us? There is camaraderie among the saints. Think of the attachments and the bonds, the friendships which you have within this world. They are good things. The associations that you belong to, the knitting clubs that you engage in, all those things are good. You should be holding on to those relationships, but raising them to the supernatural. What are we doing to spur one another on to victory, not in this life, but in life which is to come? We need others to spur us on. God calls us not to be saints set upon a mountain, held away from others, but set within a community so that others may have courage from the courage that we ourselves receive. The martyrs of Sebaste would not have been 40 were it not for the community that they had in Christ. So too, we who are here in Santa Rosa would not be able to fight against the torrent which leads us away from Christ if we do not take community with one another. Today, maybe you look and we are few. Maybe you think because of the fewness that makes us weak. But I tell you, encouraged in Christ, and by the bonds which bind us together, and the angels, yes, so too as they ministered unto those with crowns at that time, so minister to us, our own guardian angels, we are not weak, but we are indeed strong, strengthened not by a power that comes from might or authority, but by a power that comes from on high, which is far greater than the strength of men. Encourage one another daily while it is still today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.